There you go. Found
The
that
post office, when my father had the post office, he had a little shop as well with the post office. He used to sell all sorts of groceries and things like sugar, which was in big hundredweight bags and things like that. And he had to weigh a lot of the stuff up. He sold all these sweets as well, cigarettes, tobacco, things like that. His post office, when he first took the post office, he had to do the make the bags up. When the mail came in, he used to have two postmen that came and they'd sort the mail up for the villages and take them out. And but he used to make the bags up to send away for when the van called from Ripon, he'd have it all ready. And what he did, he sealed the bags with sealing wax, with a taper, sealing wax, and a date stamp on it, and then he'd send it off. And the mail, he'd empty the front box as well. And he also got a telephone in there. They put him a telephone in the post office. But the funny part about it, he got a lot of farmers calling late at night, in the small hours of the morning. He used to get banging at the front door and he used to stick his head out the window and say, "Who's that?" And he'd say, "Oh, could you ring up for the vet for... I've got a cow that's poorly, or the doctor for my wife. Could you ring?" Well, my mother didn't used to like it. She was a bit, bit different to him, and my dad used to have to get up and ring up for the thing. And eventually he thought, "Well, we're all right now." They put a red telephone box outside, and he said, "That's it. I won't have to get up." But it wasn't. Fellas used to come banging on the door, these old farmers from up Bramley Grange and all that, say, "Could you ring up for the vet?" "Well, there's a phone box there." "Oh, no, I don't use that." "No, they don't use the telephone." God, Lord, and he used to have to get up and ring up for that. It was all that went on. And I remember when I was a lad at school, I would be about ready for leaving school, about 14, and when one of the postmen didn't turn in, or to do a delivery, he used to pack me a bag up and send me round Bramley Grange and all that with the post for the people. But I will say that a lot of the farmers that I went to, they really did very well to me. They got chocolate cake and all sorts on the way round. But I think my dad had some sort of agreement with John Fox Reed, the schoolmaster, that if anything like this happened, I could have a bit of time off to do this, and I did. And so I was doing posting at 40, less than 14, 13 year old, I should think. I was going round. And as I say, the warehouse, when my granddad retired from the farm and he bought the warehouse, well, he didn't buy it, it would be his, I suppose, to start with, but he had it made into a cottage, rest home. And the house next door, Virginia Cottage, he bought that for my aunt. I think it was my aunt Nora had that. He looked after his daughters and his family, really. He bought them property. But anyway, Ascough was the chap that was in there. Jack Ascough, his main job was to go around with the threshing machine and that. But he also had another job where he used to lead a stallion round the farms. He couldn't ride it, he had to lead it. And he used to go around to meet the mares on the farms, and that was his job. And we used to call him Ossie Jack, for a nickname. But anyway, just past him, there was a pinfold. I think there were three pinfolds in the village at one time. There was one on the green near Lofthouses. I think there was one at the bottom of Cross Hills. Just past the pinfold, there was where, when I first knew it, there was a Miss Wood lived there, Fern Lee. I think they changed the name of it now. But after Fern Lee, a chap called Hill lived there, Mr. Hill and his wife. And then John Buck, a chap called John Buck. And I think Franklin, the butcher, bought it eventually, and he lived there. Well, across the road is the school. I've mentioned the school. Next door to the school was Miss Bennett, the infant teacher. Next door to them was Harper's, Olive and Arthur Harper. Arthur used to drive a timber truck, a wood wagon, or greens, I think. And then there was the shop, the village shop. Well, when I first knew it, it was a Mrs. Howarth lived there. And when Mrs. Howarth sold the business, a chap called Bert Leng and his wife bought it. Bert Leng bought it, and he had a son that was the same age as me, Peter, a friend of mine. I've just heard not so long since that they found Peter. He worked for English Electric at Preston and found him dead in a park, Peter. Anyway, the stores have gone, I think, and the buildings near it. Across the road was a field. There is all built in now. And then the church, St. James's Church. I was a choir boy at St. James's Church in the days when the Reverend I.H. Boone was a parson. I remember going there some years ago. Had a real bad snowy winter. The snow was very, very thick on the ground. And the parson and I, Reverend Boone, we more or less crawled under the yew trees that were sagging down over the drive up to the church. And we got into the church, and poor old Mr. Boone, he had a very gruff voice. He'd spent a lot of time in Africa. And he says to me, "I think we'd better go home, Leslie." So there was only him and I at the church, so we called it off that day. Longarth, that's the, just by the churchyard, Longarth, that's the garth that leads down to Trenholm's farm, Mowbray Hall Farm, or we used to call it Low Grounds Farm. Our cricket field used to be down there, when we used to have a good cricket team at Grulthorpe then. And at the entrance to Longarth, there used to be a board, a notice board, where they used to put the cricket team in for the next Saturday or the next game. And as lads, we used to go down there very enthusiastically, looking at the list of the players to see where we're down to play, if we were lucky. Next door to that was the Trenholm's Butcher's Shop, which were later taken over by Bill Goundrey. But when my day it was Trenholm's, and he had, four sons, Trenholm, Basil, Hughie Trenholm, the second son. He died of pneumonia. He fell in Grulthorpe Pond, he fell through the ice, caught pneumonia and died. Then there was Oscar, that lived at Massham, Oscar Trenholm, and the one that's left, Peter Trenholm. Peter's still going. And I remember going as boys, we used to go, and Hughie, Tubby Trenholm, we used to call him, Hughie Trenholm, he used to make sausages in the sausage machine, and we used to have him to make sausages in the sausage machine. How we managed to keep our fingers out of the sausage machine, I don't know. But up the yard there was one cottage and a barn, a shed sort of thing. Now I believe the holiday cottage is up there, but there was a fella lived up there called Jack Ryder. Remember Jack Ryder and his family lived up there. Then we've got the Crown Hotel, as it was then. It's the Crown Inn now. I don't know what changes it from an hotel to an inn. But then next door to that, there was a little tiny shop, which at one time was Thackeray's radio shop. And they used to repair radios and charge accumulators and things like that in that little shop. Then there was Grandma Harrison's, the next shop, the next house. Next to that was Chapman, Mr. Chapman and his two daughters. Then there was Colbeck, another shop. And then Waite's, Mr. and Mrs. Waite and family. Next door to them was Ted Calvert. Ted Calvert was the village cobbler at the time. He repaired shoes and things. And that was one of his lads that was killed with a bomb, Alan. He has another son, Don, that lives round the corner from me here. And then, of course, after that, there was Bill Morley. And after him, Bill Glover at that place. And then Thorpe's Mill. Thorpe's Mill, and then into what is now Hazel Close. I remember Hazel Close, the field there. We had the, I think it was the Jubilee or something, it would be 1937 or something, the King's Jubilee or something. We had a sports day in the fields there. It was very good. And I think we'd just gone down onto the green now, weren't we? Yeah.